We're here on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, about 8 lines down from the top, Toshma, and we're trying to prove the Shita Rav Papa that Palgud and Iska Mamona. Zaklal, this is a Brisa, Kol HaMeshalim Yoser Al Masha Hizik, Eino Meshalim Al Pi Atzmo. If a person pays more than what he damaged, then through Hodah, through his own confession, he doesn't have to pay. Because the premise is that if he's paying more than what he damaged, that's a penalty, that's a knas. And the halacha is that you're not chayv knas through your own admission. So the Gemara says the following. Let's be medayik in the language of the Braisa. My love, ha-pachos mimashe hizik mishalim. From the fact that the Braisa formulated in terms of Yoser Mimashe Hizik without mentioning Pachos Mimashe Hizik, the assumption is that Knas only applies if it's Yoser Mimashe Hizik. And maybe that's also part of why Rav Papa insists that Palgudin is Kamamona, because you're not paying more than you damaged, you're paying less than you damaged. So again, the Diuk is that if you paying less than what you damaged, then mishalim al piatzma, you do pay, which means that palgudin is ka mamona. And that's the proof to support Rav Chizda's view. Lo, the Gemara rejects it. Ha kama shehizik mishalim. What the Braisa really means is that only if you pay exactly what you damaged, not a penny more, not a penny less, then it's considered mamona, and therefore you pay based on your own confession, your own admission. Aval mai hochinami de lo mishalim. So Gemara asks the following question: if you're telling me that if he's paying less than what he was mazik, then it means that it's a knas, and you don't pay al piatzmo, is he hochi adetoni zeh klal kol shnal yosem mashe hizik, and mishalim v'yaz lisni zeh klal kol shen mishalim kamashe hizik, demashma pachos demashma yosef. If indeed Rav Huna is correct, and the definition of chatzi nezek in Shor Tam is knas, and therefore there's Eino Meshalim Al Pi Atzmo, then the Braisa should have formulated in such a way that it would include both if he pays more than what he damaged or if he pays less than what he damaged. And it could have formulated thusly. Kol She'Eino Meshalim Kama She'Hizik, if he's not paying exactly what he damaged, then Eino Meshalim Al Pi Atzmo. Tiuvta. And the Gemara leaves this as a question on Rav Huna, who holds Palganiska Knossa, and a raya for Rav Chizda that Palganiska is Mamona. And that would seem to be the final conclusion here. But yet, paradoxically, to our surprise, the Hilchasa, the Gemara says, Palganiska Knossa. So the Gemara right away says, what do you mean? You're telling me that La Halacha we're going to paskin Palganiska Knossa? Hilchasa. You just asked the kasha from a braisa, and you upslugged the sheet of knasa. Now you tell me we paskin knasa. That's very strange. In the Gemara says, "Taima mai havi tiuvta mishum delo ketani kimoshe hizik." You're asking me why the braisa doesn't say that it's a knas if he's not paying exactly penny for penny what he damaged. I'll give you another reason why the Braisa doesn't use that language. Lo psikole, the Braisa wants to use a language that's always, always absolutely true. If it's Yosem HaShizik, it's always going to be Knas and Eino Meshalim Al Pi Atzmo. But if it's less than the amount he was Mazik, well, yes and no. Why? Keva de'ika chatzi nezik tsroros tehilchasa gemirle demamonahu mishum haki lo ketani. We have the case of tsroros, where the animal shoots out pebbles and destroys something mikocho. That's called chatzi nezek tsroros, which is derived from a Hilchos Gemira Le'Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. And part of that Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai is that it's Mamona, and it's not Knasa. So here's a case where he's paying half of the damages, and yet it's Mamona, and he would pay Al Pi Atzma. Is Mishum Hachi Lo Ketani. Therefore, the Braisa didn't use a language that would imply that if in any case that he's paying less than what he actually damaged, that's called a Knas V'Yena Mishalem Pi Atzmo. Well, what about Chatzi Nezek Tzoros? Here's a case of Eino Mishalem Mashi Hizik, Mishalem Pochos Mi Mashi Hizik, and yet it's Mamona, and he pays Al Pi Atzmo. Now the Rashba writes that it's derech behema lahatis tzoros, that it's normal and we can anticipate that an animal would shoot off pebbles. The Rashba svara really replaces what Rashi seems to be saying, that mamona in the case of tzoros is part and parcel of Aloch L'Moshe MiSinai. The Rashba says it's not necessary to say so, because the Mamona element of Tzoros is Minasvara. Because keep in mind, the only reason to say that Chatzi Nezek is Knasa is because we don't anticipate that the Shor would be Mazik. But in the case of Tzoros, says the Rashba, that's already something that's usual, and that's called Mamona. The Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai only adds that you pay Chatzi Nezek as opposed to Nezek Sholem. Logically, we would have assumed that you pay Nezek Sholem in the case of Tzoros, because it's Urche, that's what we anticipate the animal doing. It's Derech Behema Lahatis Tzoros. The Torah in the Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai reduced the payment from a full Nezek to Chatzi Nezek, but nevertheless it remains Mamona. And we'll find that the Marshal adds another point over here. He says, it's not really logical to assume that there was Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai that established Chatzi Nezek Tzoros as Mamona, because according to the Ma'ani Omer Palka Nidizka Mamona, even Chatzi Nezek Shel Keren is Mamona. How much more so Chatzi Nezek Shel Tzoros is Mamona. So why would I need Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai for that? In any event, the Gemara, we wanted to point out, Liel leaves a kasha on the Man D'Omar Palgan and Iska Knasa based on a Braisa. And the Gemara didn't offer this answer. So the Gemara only offers this answer of Lopsikale after the Gemara had a kasha Hilchasa Palgan is Kaknosa, and after Yativta the Hilchasa. But as far as the original presentation of this rice that we started with today and the Tiuvta, the Gemara was not excited about giving this answer of Lopsikale Milsa. In any event, the Shita Mekubetzes says the following. Hatam, why do we paskin the halacha in this way? Because if we hold palgan and iska mamona, the question is, why didn't the Brai say, kol she'eno mishalim yoser mima shehizik mishalim al pi atzmo? And that would have implied that if he's paying kama shehizik, or alternatively, if he's paying pochos mishehizik, like the case of Shartam, then he always pays al pi atzmo. And the Braisa did not say that. Therefore, the Gemara is more inclined towards the Man D'Omar Palgan and Iska Knasa. Now, in the case of Chatzi Nezek Tzoros, as we saw before, it's Mamona, whether you take Rashi's understanding or the Rashba, and therefore he pays Al Pi Atzmo. That's what the Braisa meant. Why didn't the Braisa just say that if you're not paying exactly what you were mazik, then Eina Mishalem al piatzman a knas? The reason is because if he pays less than what he was mazik, it might be a case of chatzi nezik tzoros, where the din is that you pay al piatzmo, and it's called mammon and not knas. Gemara says v'hashta di amrit palgan iniska knosa. Now you paskin kal palgan iniska knosa. Now the Gemara is going to go on and give us cases which are unusual hezekim, animals that damage in a way that we wouldn't anticipate it at all. And in those cases, the Gemara is going to establish that you pay a knas of chatzi nezek. So what's the case? Hai kalba di ochal imri. So we're talking about a dog that eats sheep, and that's not considered a regular kind of a hezek. So let's say, for example, this dog pounces upon a sheep, kills it, and then eats it. That's called mishuna. That's called something that's very strange. It's not normal to expect that a dog would kill sheep. It just doesn't happen in the world of nature. Now, here we have a machlokes between two deis in the Rishonim, the Rosh and the Pashtus, the way Rashi understands it. The Rosh says that according to Rashi, the very fact that the kelev, that this dog kills sheep, and these sheep are pretty relatively large animals, that itself makes it into lav urchi, which means mishuna. That's the opinion that the Rosh formulates in the name of Rashi. Again, once the dog pounces upon its prey and kills it, the achila of the dead sheep after he killed it, that's already darko shel kelev. That's not unusual. So why is it that in this case you pay only chatzi nezek? And the answer is because we define this whole process as one indivisible process. In order to get the food, what the dog had to do was something very strange. To kill a large sheep is therefore, the halacha is that even the achil itself is considered a shinui. So again, that the dog should eat this dead sheep, that's natural, that's normal. But why is it called shinui? Why is the achil itself called shinui? Because the way that the kelev obtained the sheep by pouncing upon it and killing it, that's unusual. That's mishuna. And according to Rashi, says the Rosh, that element of shinui, of mishuna, that applies in that case of the dog pouncing on a sheep, that's going to establish that even since the pouncing upon a sheep, such a larger animal, is not anticipated, that's going to establish that even the achila of that sheep is not anticipated, kaviyochel. And that's why he pays chatzi nezek. The Rosh himself disagrees with this pshat, which he quotes in the name of Rashi. And he's of the opinion, the Rosh, is Kevan Shedarko Shel Kelev Lechol Nevelos. Nobody's denying that the Kelev will normally and naturally eat the carcass. According to the Rush, you're going to have to assume, says the Rush, that it's shelo kedarko lechol. The kelev doesn't usually eat this nevela. Again, even if he did something unusual to obtain this animal, you know, he pounced on his prey, the dog pounced on his sheep and killed it. If that's mishuna, that would have no bearing on the achila itself. I mean, the reason why you're being mechayev here is for the achila. And that achila is a normal achila. Not only that, the Rosh goes one step further. He says that if the achil is natural and normal, even though you'd never predict that the kelev would kill the sheep, but now we're down to fork and knife, and we can bet our bottom dollar it's natural that the kelev will eat this nevela, then you would pay nezek shalom. So the fact that there was a Dover Meshuna Bahari Gossam, would that interfere with the Tashlumi Nezik Shalom for the Achila, if the Achila is Bitivam, it's Beurche. And that's going to be the Machlokas Rashi and the Rosh. According to Rashi, it's irrelevant if the Achila is natural or not, as long as the Hariga is not anticipated, that makes it into Mishuna, that makes it into Chatzi Nezek. Whereas according to the Rush, if the Achila would be a normal Achila, and that's the Machayev here, then he would have to pay. Now Tosus points out here, Dibur Maskel Vahashta, a very important point, that if you hold Palgan and Iskam Amona, in the case of a kalba diochal imra, this dog eating sheep case, there would be no reason to establish a chiyuv tashlum in Ezekiel. And why is that? Because you can't derive it from any possible source. If you derive it from, let's say, shein v'regel, that's not going to be successful because shein v'regel is urchi, and the eating of the sheep is mishuna, it's unusual. From Karen also you can't derive it, because in the case of Karen Tama at least, we say that af ha Karen Tama urche, with the mu'adus of the shar, it becomes urche. Karen Tama's Urchi, that's why according to this Maniom, it's Palgan Iskam Amona. How are you going to derive this case, which is Lav Urchi? Oh, if you hold Palgan Iskam Knossa, then we could derive the conclusion that in the case of Kelev and Imra, he should be Chayiv on the Karen Tama, even though it's Mishuna, because that's called Palgan Iskam Knossa. Karen Tama is Mishuna. It's not something that we anticipate. It's unusual. And from Karen Tama, we could derive the case of Kelev di Achal Imri. Let's go back for a minute to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Hashto di Amrit Palgad Niska Knosai Kalba di Achal Imri Vishunra di Achla Tarnagola Mishuna Hu. So now the Gemara adds another case here. We're talking about a cat that eats a chicken. That's also unusual. And in all these cases, we should have a told of Karen. And therefore, you should pay only Chatzi Nezek the first three times. Now, there's something here on the side of the page called Gilyan Tosis. And he says that which Tosus writes, that if you hold Palgan and Iska Mamona, you cannot derive this din from Karen Tama, because Karen Tama is considered Urche if you hold Palgan and Iska Mamona. And Tosus says that Karen Tama is Urche according to Palgan and Iskam Amona. He cannot be taken literally. It's not Urche. The Gemara says over and over again that Karen is Mishuna. Like, for example, we'll see soon, it's going to say, Mishuna Keren V'chotza Nizak. And then we have a case of Ochel Ksus, Okele Mishalim Chatzi Nezak. Keren is Lav Urche. But when you take the case of Kalba the Ochal Imra, relative to the classical Keren on his first three rounds, first three Negichos, this is very, very Mishuna. Again, we have to admit that even if Tosus says that there's an Urche element in Palga the Nizka of a Shartam, the first three Negichos, but it's not Legamri Urche, it's somewhere in the middle case, and relative to the case of Ochal, of Kalba, the Ochal Imri, that makes it even more, in relative comparison, that makes it even more Urche, if you will. But again, that's relative to the Kalva, the Ochal Shunra case. In and of itself, Keren Tama, if you hold Palgan and Iska Mamona, is Urche, but we have to assume it's only partially Urche. And Belineta will try to come back to that later on. Now, I just wanted to mention there's a very interesting suffix here in Rabbi Simcha Mitvinsk about Kalba D'Ochel Imri. What happens if the dog repeats this three times? It attacks three different sheep on three different occasions. Do we call this a Sharmuad? Again, we're talking about a Kalba Muad. This first Tzad in Rabbi Simcha Suffik makes sense intuitively. The animal repeats this same kind of behavior pattern, that's very strange, but three times over becomes Muad. And now the nafkamina is going to be that you pay in, even in Rishus HaRabim. Or should we say, this is the second side of Rameir Simcha, that if it does it three times, has the status of Shane, and it's part of Rishus HaRabim. Now, the Tzemeir Simcha Safek is that if the Kalba D'Ochal Imri model repeats itself three times, shall we now classify it as Keren? And in this case, it would be Keren Muad, paying Nezek Sholim, but even in Rishus HaRabim, or no, it's Shane. Because after all, what motivates the animal in this freaky kind of case is the desire to eat. And therefore, it is shame. And it's potter b'shus harab. That's where Rav Meir Simcha vacillates back and forth. The Gemara says, Lo magbidun b'bovel. Now that we've established that in this case of Kelev D'Ochel Imri and Shunra D'Ochel Tarnagol, it's all Mishuna, and if it's Katzi Nezek, and it's a Knas, is it cannot be imposed, it cannot be collected in Bavel. There's no Smuchin, there's no Mumchin in Bavel, and ain't done in Dine Knossos. Rashi points out that just like Shein Brishus HaRabim, even though it's potter, but you do pay for the hanah that the animal had, that's not called knas, says Rashi, such a payment can be collected in Bavel, it's not called a knas. And that's Mashenene Sakelev. That would apply here as well. Now later on in Daf Pei Dalid, the Gemara explains what dinim do we need in order to establish smuchin. In other words, in what dinim did Chazal establish that dayonim in Bavel are like shlichusa, are shluchim of the dayonim of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there would be dinim knosis even in Bavel. Now we're assuming in this sugya that if you hold palgan and iska mamona, then that could be judged in Bavel, because it's not knas, you don't need the smuchin, you don't need the mumchin. But that's not really true, says the Rashba, because the Gemara establishes in Ksubas on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis that in order to gather together a judgment in Bavel, what you need is a davar shchiach. Now, kal b'dachal imri is eno shchiach, even according to the Ma'ad Palkin in his Kamamona. And therefore, we would not be judged in Bavel. Here the Gemara is saying, hashta the amr, now that we've come to the conclusion that Palgad in Iska Knosso, so therefore Karen Tama is considered Tama, not Muedis. It's not Shriach, it's Meshuna. Therefore, we can talk about other cases that are Meshuna, like Shunra Diachla, Kalba Diachal Imri. That too is Meshuna. And if it's Meshuna, the payment is going to be Chatzi Nezek, and L'chor should be a Knas, and there's no way of imposing it in Bavel. However, that's not exactly true. Because even if I hold Palga Denizka Mamona, nevertheless, it's a Dovah Shalosh Shchiach. And that's not going to be judged in Bavel, as we said before, in the name of the Rashba. The Gemara says, "Vahani mili beravrave, aval bezutri urchehu." It's not usual for kelev to attack a large sheep, but which is called ravrave. But zutri, that's already urche. If it's smaller animals, smaller sheep, then we can anticipate that the dog would actually attack them, and that would make it urche. It would be a told of shame. And you'd be chayv to pay if it was b'shus hanizak. Now, when Bezdin cannot be gover, cannot force the mazik to pay up, and certainly if we're talking in Bavel, and you're talking about a knas, and ein govin knosses per Bavel, but nevertheless, if the Nizak went ahead and took the law into his own hands, and he removed some, let's say, metaltolin from the reshus of the Baal Ashar, the Baal Ashar Masik, is lo mafkina mine. We cannot remove the Nizak from that money, or remove the money from the Nizak. So if the kelev attacks very small animals, very small sheep, that becomes shein. And in the Rishus HaNizak, there would be a chiv to pay nezek shalem. And that would not be knas. And that's something that we could collect even here in Bavel. Now, this halacha yitofas lo mafkina mine. What we're saying is that even when there is a chatzi nezek knas, and we applied that just recently in the case of Kalva D'Yachal Imri, then Tfisa would work. Bezdin in Bavel doesn't have they don't have the jaws, so to speak, they don't have the authority to force the Mazik to pay, but if the Nizik went ahead and he grabbed from the Mazik's possessions, you know, but it has to be connected the Keneged the Chov, is Emotzin Oso Miyada. So it's not that in the case of Knas, Bezdin in Chutz Laretz in Bavel is completely Mufka. There's no way they could even touch this Knas. No, Bezdin might not be able to force the Mazik to pay, but if the Nizak grabs something from the Mazik in lieu of that Chiv, in lieu of payment, then Bezdin says, well, that's not considered stealing. And not only that, the Gemara says, the Omar Kivuli Zimna di Azlina, Liari Yisrael, the Nizak says to the Mazik, in front of Bezdin, I want this Mazik to come in front of a court in Eretz Yisrael. And that's where we should be, the litigation should take place, is kavinale. Then Beis Din will be kofea that the proper time is whenever it is. V'lo azil mishamtinan le. So the Beis Din in Bavel cannot judge this case, and therefore the Nizak has no recourse to get his money back unless he sues, he subpoenas the Mazik, and he says to him in front of the Beis Din that we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and that's where we'll get a fair judgment. There, there are smuchim, there are mumchim. Is kavinale. In such a case, Beis Din is koveh zman, and that's enough to be mechayev the two litigants, but here in this case, the Mazik, to go up to Eretz Yisrael. And there they'll know how to judge the case. V'ilo azil, if Mikomakom the Mazik refuses to go to Eretz Yisrael during this period of time when we want the heat wave, so to speak, the anger wave to pass, to dissipate, is Mishamtinale. Beis Din has the authority to require any member of Klal Yisrael to go into Golos, to go to Eretz Yisrael. So even though the Beis Din is now in Bavel, based on the plaintiff's suit, they can force the defendant, in this case the Mazik, to go to Eretz Yisrael, and there the case will be judged. Ubenkach ubenkach, and even if the Nizak did not demand that within a certain period of time they transfer the case to Eretz Yisrael, and Beis Din now is going to warn the Mazik that, you know what, he's holding on to a Kelev, and that Kelev may in fact attack someone. So that the Mazik has to realize that even if there's no way that he's going to be forced to pay for the damages in this case, because the Nizak is not willing to go to have a judgment in Eretz Yisrael, it's Beis Din themselves will still force the Mazik to kill the Kelev. Why? Because the Kelev is now a danger to society. So above beyond the case between the owner of the Kelev, the owner of the Tarnagolas, the Ishara, the Mazik and the Nizak, forget about all that for a minute. Regardless of and independent of the question of payment for Nizakin and compensation and whether we can force him, we can't force him, one thing we certainly can force the Mazik, he's got to get rid of that dog. That dog is dangerous. And if he refuses to do so, Mishamtinale, poof, we put a whammy on him. Adamasalik has Zeka until he gets rid of this belligerent animal, this Kelev. And this is all derived from Rabbi Nosson. The Sanya, Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Nain, Shal Yigad Alolam Kelev Vrah B'toch Beiso, V'al Yamid Sulam Ra'ua B'toch Beiso, Tamid Loma Lo Tosim Domim V'Veisecha. And when it says Lo Tosim Domim V'Veisecha, it's a reference, or shall we call it an allusion, to the God. It says Beisecha, but we mean anything that's Matsui, as a Hezek, you got to get rid of it. Again, whether you have to kill the Kelev or tie it up, I mean, that's maybe a Machlokes Rishonim here in this case. Ayin Rambam, Perik Hei, Alocha Tes, Milchus is Kemomen. And there may be indications that there are things that you could possibly do with this dog, but the fundamental principle is if you have a mazik in your rishus, you must get rid of it, otherwise you violate the law of lo tosim domim b'veisecha. So with all our discussions here about the kelev jumping and eating up this sheep, which is meshuna, and therefore you only pay chatzi nezek, and if it's a knas, there's no knas in Bavel, but with all due respect to that, one thing that applies universally in the entire globe, and that is that Beis Din has to see to it that any sort of harmful or potentially dangerous animal should be done away with. Now, finally, we take a look at the Mishnah here on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis. And this Mishnah is going to require quite a bit of work, but we'll just try to make some progress to finish the Amud. is Chamisha Tamim v'Chamisha Mu'odim. There are five categories of cases where the animal is not, we don't anticipate it to be damaging, and therefore the only payment is Chatzi Nezek. On the other hand, the Chamisha Mu'odim, there are five cases of Shar Mu'od, and you pay Nezek Sholem. We have a general principle of Mishnah, Minyana Lemute Mai. Why does the Mishnah feel compelled to give us a number? I mean, we can count it. The Mishnah is going to go ahead and give us the list of the Chamisha Tamin and the Mu'adim. And it's always coming Lemu'ute something. Possibly it's coming Lemu'ute Tzroros, which is not part of this Din of Shar Mu'ad, because in Tzroros you always pay Chatzi Nezek. Possibly it's coming to exclude Bor and Eish, which are not Bali Chayim, and therefore there's no Shaychus Tamus and Muadus. And then the Mishnah continues and says, Habehema Eina Mu'edes, Lo Ligach, V'lo Lidof, V'lo Lishoch, V'lo Lirbot, V'lo Livot. These are the five cases of Tamim, of a short Tam. Meaning the first three negichas, where you pay only half. Habeina ain't a muedis, or at least not yet, it's not muedis. You could, of course, be made against the shor, make it into a shor muad. These are five different scenarios, almost categories, of cases that are mishuna, and that's the din of shor tam. There's negicha the first three times, right, in Negifa, where it pushes it with its body, Lishoch, it, out of anger, and belligerency, it bites, Lirvot, it jumps on top of Kalim, and crushes them with its weight, Lo Yivot, and Be'ito Beraglayim, again with Kavonah, to break something, is also called Meshuna, and on the first three times, three occasions, it's Chatzi Nezek of Tam. Then the Mishnah says, Hashem Mu'edes, now we get up to Mu'adim, is number one, Lechol Esaroyla, so anything that's part of its normal day-by-day diet would qualify here. And then it says, Haregel Mu'edes Lishbar, as the animal is walking, it breaks kelim b'derech hilucha as it's walking. And these are cases of mu'adim, because they're anticipated, they're natural. The animal eats what it wants to eat, what it should be eating. The regal just goes and walks, and derech hilucha, all sorts of nizakin happen. And then shara mu'ad, which is the case of a shara that's already established its propensity to be nogeach, v'shar hamazik. Now, we're not sure what's the difference between shar muad and shar hamazik. It's again, shein muedes lechol asaroyla, regel muedes lishpar b'dachilucha, v'shar muad. Shar muad is the negicha, but after three times. And shar hamazik, Birshus HaNizak. That's a little bit of an ambiguous phrase, this Shar Mazik, where it's coming from. The Gemara is going to pick that up. But it's got to be Birshus HaNizak, at least in that case of Lechol Es HaRoyla, which means shame. V'Adam, and here the Mishnah includes Adam, and we're talking about man paying a full Nezek for any damages that he does directly. Hazeva Ari Vador Vadov Av Namer Vabardulis Vanochash Are Elu Muadim. These are Muadim from nature, built into natural man, so to speak. I mean natural animals, of course, in these cases. But we're dealing with animals that are very belligerent, and they are Muadim from the get-go, from the time that they're born. They never will have a din of tam. is paying Nezik Shalom Mishus HaNizak is a son L'Rabbi Tarfon. The Omer Mishunin Kerem B'Chatar Nizak Nezik Shalom Hu D'Mishalim is Reisha Rabbonavol V'Seifa Rabbi Tarfon. How could that be? Because the Reisha assumes that even the Chatzar HaNizak you only pay Chatzi Nezik. The Seifa assumes that in the Chatzar HaNizak you pay Nezek Shalem. The Gemara says, in the Omer Le Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda Shinina Shvok Masnisim V'ta Abasroi Reisha Rabbonon V'Seifa Rabbi Tarfon. So we have this expression here in which Shmuel turns to Rabbi Yehuda and he says, okay, you're a very sharp guy, you're Shinina, and Shvok Masnisen, you're working so hard overtime to answer the stira, to reconcile the stira in the Mishnah. Leave it alone. Ta Basrai, go follow in my footsteps. Reisha Rabbanav is safer of Itarfon. Don't work so hard to reconcile. Why not say there are two different parts of the Mishnah, two different parts of the Braisa, and each one represents a different Shita? And we'll soon see that the Gemara is going to bring other answers to reconcile this stira, not only the answer of Shmuel that we have to divvy up this Mishnah, half expresses the Shita of the Rabbanan and half expresses the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon. Ritz Shem will continue tomorrow.